Learn. Attack of the clones. Watch out for clones.
Very misleading title.
It's a misleading title.
Yeah. Okay. What was it actually about?
It's about the attack of the individuals. That would be misleading, right?
Very misleading.
So, this week until we began the parashios of the Mishkan. Noble thing, right? Of course, the first question is, how we get to the parashios of the Mishkan? How do we get to the parashios of the Mishkan? So where were we in the end of parashios Mishpatim? Very end of Mishpatim, we have the beautiful bris between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, right? And then we have in the very end, Pasuk Yud Bet, the last little section, a piece that people don't often take note of, but really it's the backdrop for what comes in parashios Truma, etc. So let's begin. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, alei elei ha'ara. It's calling him back up. First time was for the, you know, the proposition, and then for the Aseret Dibros, and then for the Sefer HaBris. Alei elei ha'ara, v'heyesham, interesting phrase, and be there with me. V'yetna lecha et luchot ha'even v'hatorah v'hamitzvah shekatavti l'aratam. Interestingly, the luchot at this point are called luchot ha'even. Now this list is important. V'hatorah v'hamitzvah shekatavti l'aratam. This is the source Chazal have for the fact that all we know the Torah was given in Har Sinai. Because he says, v'etna lecha et luchot ha'even. V'hatorah, v'hamitzvah. You know, it's not like some strange diuk, right? It's okay.
Not much else to it.
There you go. V'yaka Moshe v'Yeshua mishavto v'yal Moshe al har Elohim. Now I would expect that we'd start to get, you know, get working, right? On the luchot. Interestingly, we have a bunch of more psukim here. V'yal hazkenim amar shvu lanu b'zeh l'shenashuv alechem v'inei aron v'choy machem i'ba'advim yigash alehem. It talks about Moshe's instructions to the Zakenim, and because of that, it repeats again in Pasuk Tetvav, Vayal Moshe al Ahar. But now there's more description of the Har. Vayachas ha'anan et Ahar. That seems superfluous. We know already that the mountain cloud was on the mountain, right? Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai, we know that too. Vayachas ha'anan sheish dimi, Vayakor Moshe b'yom Yishrim mitoch ha'anan, Umarek kvod Hashem k'eish uchel b'rosh ha'ar, l'nei kol b'nei Yisrael, Vayavo Moshe b'toch ha'anan, Vayal Moshe. What are all these psukim for here? You understand what I mean? What's all these psukim for? By the way, we talk about Moshe having been up there for 40 days and 40 nights. It's at this stage of Har Sinai where we talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. Not the Dibros, not the stage of the Lucho, the Torah, the Mitzvah. And this is a very seemingly strange introduction to the next parasha, because when it says in Parashat Truma, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Dabar ben Yisrael v'yechuli Truma and make the Mishkan, that's obviously a continuation, right? He's speaking to him on Har Sinai. Mm-hmm. But I thought the purpose of him going up was to receive the Luchot. Instead, what's he talking about? The Mishkan. You with me on the hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the answer comes from the connection between the Luchot and the Mishkan. And the truth is, it comes if you read the Psukim in the end of Mishpatim well also. And we're going to do that now, right? We're going to do that now. We notice that it seems superfluous, the description of Har Sinai. What facet, what component is added here in the end of Mishpatim we never heard of before? I only see one booklet, two booklets, three booklets. I only see three booklets.
Do we have
to? Let me borrow yours for a second, Andy, but continue. Which component is added here? New? For the first time, there is a verb used in reference to Hashem, and that verb is Vayishkon, or the way we describe the term
Shechina.
Shechina. The term Shechina is used here in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And particularly in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence on?
Har Sinai.
On Har Sinai. Har Sinai is described as a Mishkan. Why would that make sense?
Well, the Kavod Karizona.
Because that's the backdrop to giving the Tzivui to build the Mishkan. Essentially, the tzivui is to build something that will be a continuation of Har Sinai. And why do we need a continuation of Har Sinai? Because the Jews are going to need to leave Har Sinai. And the question is, are they going to take the Mishkan with them? In fact, if you read these psukim carefully, let's read them once again. Maftir. Vayal Moshe al Ahar v'yachase anan et Ahar. Vayishkon kvod Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayechaseu he'anan sheshet yamin vayekra al Moshe v'yom ha'shvi'i mitoch ha'anan. Umarech vod Hashem ke'esh ochelet perosh ahar le'inei b'nei Yisrael. Ve'yavo Moshe v'toch ha'anan v'yal ha'har, etc. Everyone saw this looking carefully? Mm-hmm. Now let's look at the end of Sefer Shemot. Ooh.
The end of Sefer Shemot.
That's a lot of finger walking. You got the fingers moving there? Mavtir. Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Daled. Vayechas He'anan et Ohel Moed. Remember it said, Vayechas He'anan et Har? Vayechas He'anan et Ohel Moed. Uchvor Hashem Malet HaMishkan. Remember it said, Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Har Sinai. Now it's Kvod Hashem Malet HaMishkan. So to hear, remember it said that Moshe needed to be called in on the seventh day? V'leochol Moshe lav Ohel Moed. Kishachan alav He'anan. When is he going to be called in?
That day.
Next psukim, Vayikra. Say fair? Vayikra. And how we describe? V'lo yechol, pasuk lamed hei. V'lo yechol, Moshe levo al mamo meid, ki shechana levi anan, uchvor Hashem alayet ha-mishkan. And then it says in pasuk, lamed chet, last pasuk of Sefer Shemot, ki anan Hashem al-mishkan yomam, ve'esh tiyah alayla bo. Remember we saw it's esh ochelet? These psukim describe the Shechina's presence on the Mishkan, which makes sense, in similar terms to the way it was described in Har Sinai. And that's why the Ramban explains that the Mishkan was meant to be a continuation of the Gilui Shechina on Har Sinai. And I think the reason the Torah goes out of its way to describe Har Sinai as a Mishkan at this place is because it's an introduction to the Tzibur for the Mishkan. Now someone might say, okay, all this is great, what does that have to do with the Luchos? And the answer is, of course, that the Luchos...
the center of the Mishkan.
The Luchot are the center of the Mishkan, right? The Mishkan is a sign of God's presence amongst the Jewish people. It testifies to that kesher. That's why it's called Mishkan Ha'idut. The central component is the Aron. There are two phrases used to describe the Aron. The Aron.
Kodesh.
That phrase is not used in the Torah. Sure. So, but it is correct that it is a phrase we use. It's called the Aron Abrit, and it's called the Aron Haidut, because it testifies about the Brit. That's why the Aron is mentioned as the first thing in the Mishkan. If we take a look together, the beginning of Parshas Truma, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'natata et hakaporet al Aron milamala, ve'el ha'aron titein et ha'idut asher etein elecha. V'no'adati l'chasham v'dibartich n'el ha'kaporet v'nishu n'agurim asher al Aron Ha'edut, ekol asher tzaveh atchad mene Yisrael. The Aron is called the Aron Ha'edut because it has within it the Luchot Ha'edut, which is why, if we take a look in Parshat Ki Tisa, when the whole Parshat of the Mishkan is finished and Hashem finally gives Moshe the Luchot, they're not called, referred to only with the generic name of Luchot Ha'evan. How are the Luchot referred to? Let's take a look. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet, Vayitein El Moshe, Kechalotot V'Daberit Av Har Sinai, Shnei Luchot Ha'edut, Luchot Evan K'duvim Be'etz Ve'elokim. Now the truth is, when we read Parshas Truma, you're supposed to put the Edut inside the Aron. We don't really know what that means yet, right? Mm-hmm. Hashem said, I'm going to give you the Luchot, then you're going to put the Edut in the Aron, then he brings it all together in the end, he gave him the Luchot Ha'edut. If you want me to connect it all, I would say it like this. Hashem makes a treaty with the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people commit themselves by saying Nasa v'nishma in reference to what Moshe reads from what? From what Moshe reads from? The Sefer HaBrit. The Sefer HaBrit is a symbol of the Jewish people's commitment to Hashem, right? Hashem shows his commitment to the Jewish people through what object? The Luchot HaBrit, which are given from God. The Luchot HaBrit and the Sefer HaBrit are signs of that commitment, and they're going to be placed in the Aron Ha'edut on the Brit, inside the Mishkan Ha'edut on the Brit. Have we got the bigger picture? Mm-hmm. Cool. What do you think, Akiva? No? Cool. And I think this introduction can explain the distinction between Parshiyot Truma and Tetzaveh. And now we're going to move from the introduction into Truma and Tetzava. There are two parashiyot, a little bit in Kitisa, but let's talk about Truma and Tetzava. There's reason to talk about Truma and Tetzava. Let's see the reason. Truma begins with the need to collect money for the goal, right? Collect all this stuff. Pasuk Chet, V'yasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'tocham, right? V'yasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'tocham. V'yasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'tocham. That's the goal, right? That's the key pasuk. When does the Torah describe, when does Moshe finish describing what's needed for this goal and conclude with the goal being realized?
The goal itself is...
Where? Tzukim, Perek, chapter, verse. If you look towards the end of Parsha Tetzaveh, Perek Chof Tet, Pasuk Mem Gimel, it says, V'no'adati shama levnei Yisrael v'niktash b'chvodi v'kidashti et ol mo'ed v'et ha'mizbeach v'et ha'aron v'et banav ha'kadesh l'chahen li v'shachanti b'toch b'nei Yisrael v'ayiti lohem l'ohim v'yadu ki ani Hashem Elohim sh'otzeiti otam me'eretz v'fam v'shachni b'tocham ani Hashem Elohim. Everyone sees it there? The end of Perach of Tet. That's why I said the Parshat Mishkan, a really Truman Tetzav, at the very end is like an add-on. If we have time, we'll talk about it now, we'll talk about it next week, the add-on. Paraklamet and on. So there's two parashios, Truma and Tetzaveh. And the truth is, the reason there are two parashios is because Tetzaveh begins very much like the beginning of Truma. If you remember the beginning of Truma, it says, Daber l'bnei Yisrael v'yukhu li Truma me'ekol ish sh'evenu libot ikhu ha Trumati. Beginning of Tetzaveh v'yata, Tetzaved b'nei Yisrael v'yukhu elecho. This is the second round, right? Why is there a distinction between Truma and Tetzaveh? I think the answer is very important. Everything Moshe is told to tell the B'nai Israel to build in Parshas Truma, we are told what about? Build what?
The Kelim.
Let's look again. Perek Hafei in the beginning. Pasuk Chet. V'yasuli Mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham. Pasuk Tet. K'chol asher ani mareh otcha et tavnit ha-mishkan v'et tavnit kol kela v'chein tasu. ככל אשר אני מראה אותך את תבנית המשכן ואת תבנית כל קהילה וכן תעשו. מה זה אמין? פסק תד. Like everything I'll show you. This theme of פסק תד repeats itself again and again at the conclusion of each unit describing the Kalim. How many units are there in Parshas Truma? Let's make sure we understood Parshas Truma. Why do you say four? What's four?
The menorah.
No. Slow down. Yeah? How many units are there? No. The whole parasha I'm talking about. You're talking about the first parak.
Right. I mean,
how many units are there?
More than four.
Adi, don't be afraid. Let's go. Say it.
Many.
How many?
Four.
What are the four? What's the first unit? Where is there a shift? Sure, you know you're being humble or you don't know? You're being humble, we don't want you to be humble.
We restart with the Mishkan Tasa. There's another start.
How do you know what to start? Because it says V'es HaMishkan Ta'aseh, right? You see that? Beginning of Perek Chavav, V'es HaMishkan Ta'aseh. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Okay, so what's the difference between Perek Chavav and Perek Chavay?
It goes from the Kalim inside to the outside.
It goes from the Kalim inside to the outside. The outside of what?
The outer shell of the Mishkan.
Okay, and so how does that continue later? The Parsha goes from the Kalim to the outside, to the covering? Is that how the Pasha works? After the covering, we have more Kalim, no?
Go back.
It doesn't go Kalim covering, or else the Mizbeach would be mentioned in Chafei, right?
Mm-hmm. Seems to go more central, outer, meaning from the Kodesh Kodashim and out.
Or Kodesh, meaning there's two parts to the Mishkan. In fact, this is, let's use the words the Torah uses. There's the Mishkan, and there's the
Kodesh Kodashim.
And there's the Torah doesn't use that word, so we can use that word here. What? It doesn't call it that. Hechal is the term used by the Nach to describe the Beis Hamikdash, there's the Mishkan. It's not a trick question. All you have to do is look inside the Pesukim. Or all you had to do for last week's parsha was have learned the Pesukim. Right, Shaky?
Yeah.
So what's the answer? Ooh, no. There's the Mishkan and the Chatzara Mishkan. That's the word the Torah uses. Each of the units, it begins by describing the Kalim that are in the area, and then the area. Parak Chaf Hei begins with the Kalim that are inside the Mishkan. What are the Kalim?
The Menorah.
Let's go in order the Torah gives right now.
The Aron. And the Beruah.
The Shulchan. If anything, you talk about the Kaporas, not the Beruachas.
Okay.
That's what you meant? Okay. The only she was right for mentioning the Kaporas separately because it's mentioned separately. Sheni Ve'asita Kaporas. And in fact, it mentions the putting in of the Eidos the second time. It's a parallel piece. And the truth is, if we had more time to talk about Parshas Truma, which we don't, I would speak about the parallel relationship of Menorah to Shulchan like Kaporas to Aron. Mm-hmm. And they're very similar. And the pure gold versus wood gold and relationship to and measurements. There's all kinds of stuff to talk about that. But in any case, the Aron and Kaporas, and then the Shulchan, I'm in order of the Torah, and the Menorah, right?
Yeah.
That's all Perachav Hei.
Yeah.
Perachav Vav, the beginning of Perachav Vav is the Mishkan. What is the Mishkan? When we say Mishkan, what do we mean? The structure that covers the Kalim that are in the Mishkan. Perachav Zayin, we talk about what?
The Parochah.
Oh no.
The Mizbeach.
The Parochah is part of the Mishkan, right?
Right.
The Mizbeach. We talk about the Mizbeach. The reason Mizbeach is mentioned earlier is because it doesn't stand in the Mishkan, it stands in the Chatzara Mishkan. Mm-hmm. Where do I get the term Chatzara Mishkan from? Perachav Zayin, Pasuk Tes. The Asi says Chatzara Mishkan. So there's four units, right? Mm-hmm. Krieger was right, there are four units. It was when you started saying that the units were the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, I had to slow you down, right? Mm-hmm. They're all part of really the first one. Someone said, the Barak said, there's eight units. Well, really, there are eight things discussed, but they're not all separate units. Why am I pointing out to you? I mean, it's important to know. Understand the parasha. But also, to see how that refrain, which we'll now see as a refrain, that we saw in the beginning of the parasha, Perachav Hei, Pasuk Tes, about Kechol Asher Ani Mareh Otcha Et Tachnit HaMishkan, to see how that comes back at the end of each piece. We saw it in the introduction. Now we'll see it after talking about the Kalim. Where did the discussion of the Kalim end? The end of Perek.
Chaf.
Hey, right? Hey. Last pasuk. Ure'e va'asei betavnitam. Asher atam mar'e bahar. And this is a little bit more specific. It doesn't just say, as I'll show you. It says, as I'm showing you.
On the mount.
Then it talks about the Mishkan. If you look at the almost end of the description of the Mishkan. Perek chaf vav pasuk lamed. It says, v'hakeimota et ha-mishkan kemishpato asher
harita.
What's strange about the placement of that pasuk is that I would have thought it would be placed at the end of the parak after the discussion of the parochah. And interestingly, it's not. We'll get back to that. Then we get to after the mishbeach pasuk chet. What does it say? Nevuv luchot taseoto kasher hera utcha bahar ken yasu. The pasuk does not appear after the description of the chatzar mishkan, which is interesting, right? Why not? I can and I will speculate in a moment. But the first thing I want to highlight is that the pieces of Parshas Truma are described as needed to be made as you're seeing on the mountain. If you look at Parshas Tetzaveh, the as you see made on the mountain doesn't appear a single time. And the reason why is because I think the stuff described in Tetzaveh was not shown to Moshe on the mountain. The obvious question is why not? Why not show him the Big Day Kahuna? Why not show him the other stuff? And I think it gets to the very heart of what Hashem means by as I showed you on the mountain. What does he mean, as I showed you on the mountain? Someone could say, like that famous medrash about the Machzis HaShekel, right? At least what it says, like, Hashem showed Moshe a picture. He showed him a video. How to make a Mizbeach. Right? I think that's the Mizbeach he didn't show. Well, the Mizbeach, second Mizbeach. Anyway, how to make a menorah. Because I'll say, Moshe had a hard time figuring out how do you make a menorah Miksha Achas, right? You could say it was an artificial video. What's the other option?
Mishkan building for dummies?
That would be the artificial video direction. What's the other option? The other option is to say that when Moshe went up on Har Sinai, what did he see?
The Mishkan now.
A Mishkan.
Yeah.
Moshe saw a Mishkan. Not an artificial, he saw a Mishkan. What's the basis for saying he saw a Mishkan?
We discussed that the Mishkan is going to
be. By Yishkon Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai. He saw a Mishkan. The Mishkan is the form that Hashem appears in this world as. And the truth is, the Mishkan sounds a lot like a home, right? You have the bedroom on the inside, and then you have the dining room, living room on the outside. You have the living room and the kitchen is on the very outside, right? And there's Be'ach with the meat. Again, it's, you know, obviously all this is in human terms. God doesn't need a menorah, or a Mizbeach, right? All this is in human terms. But this is the human form Hashem appears in. And basically what Hashem told Moshe was, build what you're seeing here. Kasher Atah, Moreh Bahar. And that would explain why certain things are not included in what Moshe saw on Har Sinai, because he didn't see them on Har Sinai. For example, the Parochet. Why would the Parochet not be included? One could say that Parochet is not a central part of the Mishkan. It's not needed as part of the basic revelation. Why is it needed? It wasn't on Har Sinai. Why does our Mishkan require a Parochet?
It's separation.
If our Mishkan doesn't have a Parochet, people will be looking right at the Aron Kodesh. But I can't have. Now again, on Har Sinai, there's no problem. Why?
Because it's Moshe.
There's nobody up there, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, Chatzar Mishkan. There needs to be a Mishkan to separate between the Mishkan and the Chatzar. But there's the need to be a Chatzar to separate between the Chatzar Mishkan and... There's nobody walking up there, right?
Right.
I believe that on Har Sinai there was no Chatzar Mishkan, there was no Parochet. That's why these things are not included in what Hashem says to make as you see on Har Sinai. Now again, they had to be made. They had to be in our Mishkan, but they weren't seen on the Mishkan on Har Sinai. And of course, this brings us to the biggest point, which is the introduction to this week's Parsha, Parshas Netzaveh, which is the point that makes a lot of sense, that another thing that wasn't seen on the Mishkan on Har Sinai was...
Big Day Kahuna.
Or, correct, Kohanim. Or Kohanim. There were no Big Day Kahuna because there were no Kohanim.
Yeah,
right. Now, this is to the question of not why there were Kohanim, but what role did the Kohanim play beyond what we saw in Parshas Truma? Meaning you're not just going to replicate what you saw in Har Sinai, you're going to add Parshas Tetzaveh. That's this week's Parsha. And I think the short answer, we're going to see the long answer, but let's start with the short answer. The short answer could very well be the word, the term used to describe the sanctuary in Parshas Tetzaveh versus Truma. What's the new word, the new term?
Ohel Moed.
Ohel Moed. How many times does the term Ohel Moed appear in Parshas Truma? How many times does the word Mishkan appear in Parshas Tetzaveh? Isn't that interesting? You look interested, Krieger.
I'm very interested.
What is the overarching term that the Torah uses that can apply to both those terms? Not Mishkan, not Ohel Moed, but... Mikdash. V'yasuli Mikdash. V'shachanti v'tocham. In Truma, the Mikdash is referred to as the Mishkan. And in Tetzaveh, it's referred to as the Ohel Moed. So one could describe Parshas Tetzaveh, mi Truma le Tetzaveh, mi Mishkan le Ohel Moed. Now why the term Ohel Moed is used to describe what's being added in Tetzaveh, we'll have to, of course, learn
Tetzaveh.
So well, let's do that, right? Are we ready?
That's a good question.
How now? Yes.
If he is up there seeing everything, why does Hashem need to go into such detail? He's looking right at it.
I guess there's a difference between seeing something and knowing the exact measurements and blah blah blah, right?
Maybe you can count like the number of sockets on it.
Can't see. How do you make it?
Alright. Yes.
Do you know how I got that cruising?
Do I have a mahalach? What kind of mahalach would you like to hear?
Just
pshat,
why the form was the way it was.
In pshat, how could you possibly explain it? In drash, so we know what the chazal say, right? The pshat doesn't tell you anything about them, so... I mean, there are all kinds of speculations about parsei k'nafayim, the mala, this and that, and the shri, but that immediately moves you into other worlds, right? There are a lot of people who like to say things they call pshat, which in essence are drash. The only difference between what they're saying and what Chazal is saying is that it comes from their belly and not Chazal's belly. And once it comes from someone's belly, I prefer Chazal's belly. Meaning there aren't indicative signs in the text itself here. You understand my point? Okay. Parshas Tetzaveh, are we ready? Are you ready for Parshat Tzav? There are many ways to get to the bottom of Parshat Tzav. We just did a very overview of it. Now then we'll do a second, like less, you know, more interview, you know, like specific view, and then most specific view. Shall we?
We shall.
Krieger says we shall. What is Parshat Tzav about?
I'm guessing the Almighty.
That would be a good guess.
Big Day Kohanim.
And the details, it talks first in Perichav Ches, it talks about the Big Day Kohanim. And then in Perichav Tes, it talks about
the Avoda.
The Avoda. Not the Avoda. What is it talking about in Perichav Ches? Chav Tes, excuse me?
The 19th of Kohanim.
It's only Sunday. And that would have been a good excuse for Tetzaveh. What was the excuse for Terumah?
It was a good Shabbos.
Ah, it's a Shabbos. Okay, yes. Perichav Tes is about what's called the what?
Karbanos.
What karbanos?
I don't know.
The inauguration.
I deserve an Academy Award.
Inauguratory karbanos.
Inauguratory karbanos. The shiva is in the right? The 7 days when the Kohanim were sanctified. Moshe did the avodah there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? No. Right? Okay. Yeah. The big day Kahuna and the inauguratory karbanos. That's why it's so strange that we have two psukim before. What are the two psukim before? What are the two psukim before? No, not a trick question. I'm sorry? The oil, lighting the oil in the menorah.
Mm-hmm.
What are these psukim doing here? Are they part of last week's parsha? Are they part of this parsha? And that's why no one knows what to do with them, right? We put them with parshas tetzaveh. The bold Christian dudes put them with Truma, right? You know what I'm talking about? They're in Perek Chav Zayin. And the truth is, they don't seem to fit with either of them, right? They're not part of the Chatzar HaMishkan. They're not part of the Big Day Kohuna. Why are these two psukim inserted here? Zach, understand the question?
Mm-hmm.
It's a biggie, right?
It's referring to the menorah specifically.
You tell me?
It's mentioned the word.
You tell me? Whatever it's referring to doesn't seem to fit in, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best way to answer something that's out of place is to find its place.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if there's another thing very much like it that also seems out of place. Let's take a look at the end of Perek Chavtet. Perek Chavtet, as we mentioned before, are the inauguratory karbanot through the 7 days of the Mishkan, right? Every day Moshe would do the avodah, he would be inaugurating the Kohanim, right? That goes through Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Let's read Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Shivat yamim techaper al mizbech v'kidash to'oto v'ayam mizbech kodesh kadoshim kol nageh v'mizbech kikdash, right? Then it says Pasuk Lamed Chet. V'zeh asher ta'aseh al mizbech kvasim b'nei shana shnayim layom tamid. Et ha-keves ha-echat ta'aseh al-boker v'et ha-keves ha-shini ta'aseh b'nei arbayin. Yisaron sol b'lub ha-shem l'kasit b'vim reva ahim v'nez v'rizim v'lohel et ha-keves ha-shini ta'aseh b'nei arbayin. Olatim v'dorotechem b'tach ha-moed. What are we describing here in Shishi? What we call?
Korban.
No, what we call the Korban?
Tamid.
Tamid. Agreed?
Agreed.
Why are we talking about the Korban Tamid here? We're talking about the Kohanim doing the Avodah during the 7 days, or having the Avodah done on them, right? By the way, the Parashas of Tamid appears in another place in the Torah. Where does it appear? Rabbi, you expect us to know the Torah. This is... Where is the Parshas Tamid? No, actually not Sefer Vayikra. What? Parshas Pinchas. When we talk about the Parshas Tamid, it's presented there. It's not like, and even if it wasn't presented somewhere else, we still have the question, what is it doing here? Everyone understands the problem? Moise, you see the problem? You don't see the problem. You think this makes sense?
No.
No, it doesn't make any sense. So what's pshat? Told you what's pshat. No, you don't say?
I'll let you.
You're going to let me. I'm touched. Little space for me. Let's read through the psukim. Read through the psukim of the Talmud carefully, okay? Everyone's reading them carefully. Lamed Chet, Lamed Tet, Mem, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis. We're reading carefully. Are you reading carefully, Krieger? You didn't read carefully, did you?
Not yet. Look forward to.
Moise, you read them carefully, right? Not yet. Okay. Jake, are you reading them carefully? I'm just writing down what I said. And he passed the book for a second. I want to see if I put it in there. Did I put it in there? is a good book.
Hmm?
This is a good book.
Great, so whoever wrote that.
You take a look carefully at the Psukim of the Tamid, when you pass back to Adi, to the Psukim of the Tamid, and you compare them to the first two Psukim of the Parsha, you know that they are very similar. What components are similar? Page 59, for those who have the book. Then. What? Well, they're not both in there, but they're both Tamid. And the Tamid means what?
Always.
And it means, particularly, it's translated as? Two times a day. What's two times?
Morning and evening.
Boker and Erev. Okay, what else? They're both involvement of Shemen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's both Shemen here. Shemen Katit. They're both things that are done by Ol Moed. Michutz laparochet. Right? Michutz laparochet.
The Dorotam and the
Tzatzatam. Aaron Ivanov. Lefnei Hashem. Chukat Olam.
Shachan.
Ledorotechem. Sorry?
There's the Shachan Tiyasa.
That's not mentioned in the beginning of Tetzaveh. We'll get to that. It's very important, but it doesn't connect it to the beginning of Tetzaveh. Or in other words, the Kohanim, the big day kahuna, the sanctification of the Kohanim, is introduced and concluded, and thus bookended, by two pieces that describe an avodat midit done by them, Boker ad Arev l'fnei Hashem. Why is this avodat midit so important? Well, if we look at the conclusion of the description of the second one, at the end, Perek Chavtet, Pasuk Membet, Olat tamid l'dorotechem, petach ol moed l'fnei Hashem, asher yivayed l'chem shama, etaber elech Hashem, v'no'adeti shama l'fnei Yisrael, v'nikdash b'chvodi, I will appear there to the Jewish people and be sanctified in my glory, v'kidash yit ol moed v'dimizbech, etarom v'etanav ha'kadesh ha'chayin li, v'shachanti v'toch b'nei Yisrael v'hitam l'chim, yadu k'nei Hashem, blah, 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 blah. The realization of these goals are juxtaposed to, and therefore seem to flow from, the Kohanim doing the Avodah Tmidit. Meaning, Hashem chooses to have His Shechina appear on Har Sinai. And it may appear in the form of a Mishkan or whatever, blah, blah, blah. For the Shechina to reside amongst the Jewish people, the Mishkan has to become in Ohel Moed. What does Ohel Moed mean?
Tent of meeting.
Tent of meeting. Who meets who?
Moshe Bitzkor.
One could say that. But this parsha seems to imply that it's a meeting rooted in the avoda of the Kohanim. The avoda tmidit of the Kohanim is what allows the Mishkan to be an Ohel Moed that Hashem's Shechina resides upon. Is that a fair thing to say? Now, of course, all that wasn't seen in the Mishkan and Har Sinai, right? But that's the chiddush of Parshas Tetzaveh beyond Truma. And before we say anything about the Kohanim, their begadim, their sanctification, we talk about the avodat midit that they do. And after we finish talking about their begadim and their sanctification, we come back to the avodat midit and elaborate on the implications of the avodat midit, which is our the actual arrival of the Shechina. What do you say about that, Barak? You see what I'm talking? You see what I'm saying? We don't have time to go through all of Parshas Tetzaveh, but now after we did the Truma Tetzaveh and we did the bookend of Tetzaveh, let's at least learn the first piece. No, what's the first piece about? Perek Chavches. What's it about? The big day kahuna. Most of us look at the big day kahuna. We're like, okay, close. You know, we don't have to do anything, right? Should we learn?
Shalom.
We're going to see interesting things. Are you ready to see interesting things?
I think so.
ואתה הקרב אליך את ארון אחיך ואת בניו איתו מתוך בני ישראל לך הנעולי ארון נדב ואביהו אלעזר ויתמר בני אהרון ועשית בגדי קודש לארון אחיך לכבוד ולתפארת. The sanctification of the Kohanim include two things: giving them holy clothes and doing the holy inauguration korbanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what's interesting is that in Pasuk Aleph Moshe is told to bring forward who?
Aaron.
And?
His kids.
And his kids. But then in Pasuk Bet, it talks about clothes for what? They don't get any clothes. The children don't get any clothes.
We're getting there.
Let's skip to Pasuk Mem for a second. After we talk about Aaron's clothes, it says, "V'levnei Aaron, taseku tanot, v'asit lehem avneitim u'migbo'ot, taser lehem lechavod u'letifaret." How many psukim are spent describing the begadim of Bnei Aharon? Of Bnei Aharon. The answer is one. There is an imbalance in the amount of psukim describing Aaron's clothing. Much of Aaron's clothing is described in great detail.
It's a bit more technical.
Specifically, the clothing that is not parallel to the big day Kohen Hedjo. The goal of this parak is not to give you the technical descriptions of the begadim, because some are described very briefly and others are described much at length. It must be to tell you the purpose, the function, the role, the meaning, right? So we're very eager to see this meaning, right? So let's go back to the beginning of the parak, Pasuk Gimel. How many begadim did Aaron have?
Many.
Everybody knows. How many did he have? Okay, so we're going to see eight now. Are you ready? Choshen, Ephod, Me'il, Ktonet, Tashbet, Mitznefet, Avnet. V'yasu b'gdei kodesh l'Aaron achichal l'vanav l'cha'anoli. Oh, there was only six? I thought it was eight. I think it was eight or six. If you're already going to give a list, wouldn't you list all of them? Hey, but what do you say? Strange days indeed, most peculiar.
And the kids' ones.
What?
Did you add the kids' ones?
There were three described for the kids who actually had four, even though three are described. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which two are missing, by the way? This would require us to be familiar with all eight. You can ask my son, he can rattle them off for you. What? I mean my five-year-old son. I don't mean you have to ask that. 8-year-old son. I mean, when 5 years old, you know this. No? What are the two that are missing? The tits is missing. And that was only worn by the Kohen Gadol. You with me? And the other one? Pants. So if you were the Kohen Gadol, at least in the beginning of the parak, and you didn't bring your homework in one day, and the teacher said, what, did you forget to put your pants on? The answer would be, with me, Adi? They didn't say that? Elementary school in Philadelphia, they didn't say, did you forget your pants? I guess they were nicer there. In New York, if you forgot your homework, they were like, where's your homework? I forgot. Did you forget your pants? That's not a nice thing to say, right?
No, because mom leaves the pants next to the clothes, not the homework.
Okay, well, I guess that's the pure song. In any case, getting back to the point, strange list, no? Anyway, and now we're going to describe the making of the kelim. All right, so what's the first one? What's the first beggar described? And the second one is? That was the first one.
Mel?
Choshen, right? The Choshen Mishpat. Which is interesting, because what order did we go in the list?
Not that order.
Choshen.
Choshen and then Ephod. So why did we flip them over? Should we answer one of these questions, or just keep asking questions? Keep asking? Okay, no problem. I don't mind. We're going to end and not have any answers. I think the reason the Torah flips over the order of the Choshen and the Ephod is because they're connected to each other. And how do I know they're connected to each other? Because they were connected to each other. There's an issur to allow, there was a chain that separated them. They were not allowed to be separated. And the Me'il HaEphod plus Lamed Aleph is part of the framework that connected between them.
Mishkos is going to want the Ephod first, anyway.
I'm sorry?
So the Mishkos is going to want to say the Ephod first, so that you put on the Ephod and
I think flipping it shows you that they're connected, because we can flip the order around. After we finish with the Choshen, Ephod, and Me'il HaEphod, which is obviously connected to the Ephod, because it's the Me'il HaEphod, after those three, we get to the Tzitz. The tzitz is obviously separate because it was
not even mentioned.
Separate. The tzitz, yeah, it wasn't mentioned, that's true. And it's also separate. It's also separate. We have the three, and then we have the tzitz, and then at the very end in Pasuk Mem, we get to the other three. Levnei Aaron taseh kutanot, v'asita lehem avnetim, u'migbaot taseh lehem l'chavodu l'tifarat. There are three of the six we mention, each one separately, very much at great length and the significance and da-da-da. And then there's the tzitz that for some reason wasn't mentioned on the list. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the three ones that are similar to the two. Of course, we still haven't seen which beged?
The pants.
The pants. Now, we know that they had pants, so how do we know?
It's dressed on Fridays.
So again, we saw through Pasuk Lamed Tet the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, right? Then we saw Pasuk Mem. V'levnei Aaron ta'aseh, the same three, kutanot, ve'asit elahem avnetim, u'migbaot. The difference between the hat of the Kohen Gadol and the hat of the Kohen Hedget, even though they both had hats, different name used. Pasuk Mem Aleph says, you have to get them dressed. V'hilbashto otam et Aaron achicha ve'et banavito, u'mashachto otam u'leit et yadam, v'kidashto otam v'chianoli, v'yaseh elahem mechnesei v'ad l'chasot b'sar erbim netayim v'yuchayim yiyu. The pants are not presented as a beggar. They're presented as part of what you need when you're getting dressed. Mm-hmm. You understand my point? You need a ketonet. You need a avnet. You need a mikbat. And when you get dressed, you have to put on pants. It's the way it's perceived here, right? So let's go back to the key begadim of the Kohen Gadol. The tzitz, on the one hand. And the choshen and the ephod, on the other hand, are they similar or different? Are they similar or different? Buzz, buzz. Are they similar or different? Of course, the answer to such a toned question is
both.
Okay. How are they similar?
In the list.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they similar?
They're all top half things.
They are similar in that they have something engraven on them. The term pituchei chotam. They are different in the material they are made of and what is engraven. The choshen and the ephod are stones. The tzitz is gold. That's pretty different, no? What is engraven on the choshen and the ephod? What's engraven? I'm sorry?
Gold is a stone.
Okay, I mean, you know, again, to clarify, you know, classification issues here, but I think we understand the difference. The choshen and the ephod, what is engraven upon them? This is like first grade, no? The names of the shvatim. What's engraven on the tzitz? The name of Hashem. That definitely is different, no? In fact, if you have the magic book, do you have the magic book? Or if you're sitting next to someone with a magic book, on page 60, you'll see the similarities and differences between them. The reason the Kohen had to have stones with the names of the Jewish people on them is because he had to carry the names of the Jews with him because he represented them. And it's very similar. If you look at the psukim describe the Ephod, the psukim that describe the Choshen, they're very similar. The conclusion is the most important. Perek Chav Chet Pasuk Yud Bet. V'samta at shtei avanim al kitfot ha'efod avnei zikaron levnei Yisrael v'nasa Aharon et shmotam lefnei Hashem al shtei chteifav lezikaron. Aaron has to carry the names of the Jewish people as the zikaron lefnei Hashem, right? Mm-hmm. On his shoulders. Then we have the Choshen. Very similar conclusion. Let's look at Perek Chav Chet Pasuk Lamed. V'natata el Choshen ha'mishpat et ha'urim v'et ha'tumim. V'hayu alev Aaron b'vo'o lefnei Hashem v'nasa Aaron et mishpat b'nei Yisrael alibo lefnei Hashem tamid. If you want to see the word zikaron, look at the pasuk before Chavtet. V'nasa Aaron et shmot b'nei Yisrael b'choshem mishpat alibo b'vo'o el hakodesh lezikaron lefnei Hashem tamid. Aaron had to carry the names of the Jewish people on his shoulders and on his heart. Not because I'm a rabbi and it sounds cool. That's what it says, right? Alibo. The tzitz, what does it say? Pituchei chotam, the name Kodesh Hashem, pasuk lamchet, v'haya al metzach Aaron, he wore it on his forehead. V'nasa Aharon et avon hakadoshim asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael l'chom anon kachayem, v'haya al mitzcho tamid l'ratzon lahem lefnei Hashem, not a zikaron, but a ratzon. I think it would be accurate to say that the Kohen Gadol carries the names of the Jewish people on his shoulders and heart, but the name of God on his head. So is the Kohen Gadol a representative and connected to the Jews or a representative and connected to God?
Both.
Both. Would he be a fitting representative of the Ohel Moed then? How interesting. Moise, would you call that interesting? Because I said it would be interesting. I want to make sure that I'm...
Interesting.
Of course, saying interesting is a much more interesting formulation of the word interesting. Right? Anyway, getting back to the point, I believe the Begadim are presented in two frameworks. The Me'il Choshen Ephod framework, and then the Tzitz Mechnasayim. The Tzitz and Mechnasayim are left out, one because it's above all the rest, and the other because it's below all the rest. And the reason I see the Tzitz and Mechnasayim connected is because if you look at page 60 in the book, you'll see that a lot of the things said about the Mechnasayim are similar to the Me'il, and that it's needed to protect you from dying. The bells on the Me'il protected you from dying, the pants protected you from dying, and so Choshen and Ephod are similar to Tzitz, Mechnasayim are presented as similar to Me'il. But the Kohen Gadol's uniqueness is in his being the Ohel Moed, in the sense that he carries the engraven names of the Jews and the engraven name of God. There's a lot more to talk about in Perichov Tet, which we didn't get up to, which has to do with the Korbanos of the Miluim, right? The sanctification of the Kohanim. Perich Lamed will do Emirat Hashem together next week with Kitisa, because it connects to Kitisa. You'll see how Perich Lamed begins in Tetzaveh but continues into Kitisa. And the best proof for the fact that the two parts of the Perkim are connected is that the Perik begins with the Mizbeach HaKtoris, which is strange because you would have thought it would have been in Truma. And of course the reason it wasn't in Truma is because it wasn't seen on Har Sinai. Of course, why not?
Mizbeach, maybe.
The best way of the other Mizbeach. That the Perik Lamed begins with the Mizbeach HaKtoris and ends with the Ktoris, which was offered on the Mizbeach HaKtoris. Why it's all afterwards and what's doing there and how it connects and all that, we'll see.
Next week.
He knows how to fill in the blanks.
We're going to have shiur next week.
Why not? What's next week?